Hey, gang, good morning. Welcome to the Panic Podcast for this Monday, this snowy Monday. It's the first Panic Podcast of a new week and a new year, 2022. Can you believe it? Get those Bibles opened up to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to get started in just a second. Boy, the snow is falling like crazy here in Southwest Virginia. This is our, since Christmas time, this is our fourth wave of snow. It's wave after wave after wave. And this particular storm started Saturday night into Sunday. Didn't have church yesterday because it was starting to get bad and ice up. We had rain, then snow, then ice. And as I'm looking out my window in my professional podcaster studio, we've got about, I would say, a solid 8 inches on the ground here in Norton. Not as much in Coburn where my house is. And it's still coming down. And it's supposed to stop today, and the next wave comes in on, Thursday and Friday, another 4 inches. And the bad news is it's cold this week, so we're not going to lose anything. So it's going to be 4 inches on top of the 8 or 9 inches that have already fallen. Oh, what a glorious winter in Southwest Virginia. Yeah, like last year, we didn't hardly got any snow at all. In fact, we haven't had this much snow since before my dad died, so that's got to be 5 or 6 years at least. Well, that's the way it goes sometimes where we live here in the mountains. Depending on which way the wind is blowing, we'll get a northern winter like now, or a southern winter where we get virtually no snow at all. Just, rainy, gray days. Oh, I can't wait for winter to be over. January and February, especially February. It's the shortest month of the year, but in a way, it's the longest month of the year. Well, we've hit the ground running with the podcast this year. Going to have 3 studies going, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, so do join us. I'm a little late getting it uploaded today, mostly due to the weather, but normally these studies will be uploaded before 9 a.m., Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, all right? And this winter, January, February, and into March, we're going to be studying the following things. On Mondays, I want to study aspects of our great salvation. That's on Mondays. On Wednesdays, we're going to be looking at some interesting incidents in Luke's gospel. I think we've got 5 or 6 studies of some really interesting aspects in Luke's gospel. And on Fridays, we're going to be doing an in-depth study of the Holy Spirit with an emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit. But we're going to be looking at all aspects surrounding the Holy Spirit, His work in the past, and His work in our lives today. So kind of bear that in mind. Got 3 studies going, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And as I said, with today being Monday, we're going to begin our look at our great salvation. And that's a phrase taken from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. So let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 to 4 to get us started this morning. Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. And I'm reading from the Living Bible. Doesn't really matter what version you're reading from, but follow along as best you can. It's just a brilliant, brilliant chapter, Hebrews 2. Don't know who wrote it. Some people think Paul did. I think that's highly unlikely. Doesn't matter who wrote it. It was inspired of God, so he's ultimately the author. Hebrews 2, beginning to read at verse 1, the writer says, "So we must listen carefully to the truths we have heard, or we may drift away from them. For since the messages from angels have always proved true and people have always been punished for disobeying them, what makes us think that we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation announced by the Lord Jesus himself and passed on to us by those who heard him speak. God always has shown us that these messages are true by signs and wonders and various miracles and by giving certain special abilities from the Holy Spirit to those who believe. Yes, God has assigned such gifts to each of us. And we will talk about that on Fridays this winter. But for now, the Bible is the book which reveals the way of salvation. You cannot be saved apart from the Word of God, and you can't hope to understand salvation apart from a knowledge of Scripture. Christ Jesus came from heaven to our earth to be our Savior. He lived a sinless, spotless life in order to be our Savior. He died a substitutionary death upon the cross to be our Savior. He lives in the present time at the side of the Father, making intercession for those who trust him, that he might effect within us this great salvation. Our text today speaks about the salvation as being a great salvation. The tragedy is that so many of us have made only a fractional response and have only a fragmentary understanding of this great salvation, which is available through Jesus Christ. The verses we just read also speak about the tragic possibility of believers neglecting this great salvation. Verse 3 especially has oftentimes been used as the text for an evangelistic sermon emphasizing the fact that unbelievers should no longer neglect to respond to Jesus Christ as Savior. In reality, the text is addressed to those of us who have already entered into the portals of this great salvation, but who face the peril of neglecting certain phases of it to their own hurt and to the injury of others. So let me ask you all listening. I'm sure that all of you are Christians. You claim to be Christians. You've had a born-again experience. Have you made a fractional and fragmentary response to this great salvation that God offers you through Jesus Christ? You know, only Jesus Christ can save us from the death that sin brings. And salvation from the death of sin is only a part of the great salvation which is offered to us. Christ alone can save us from the downward drag of an evil nature that has come to us through our relationship to Adam. Salvation from the wickedness of a nature degraded by sin is only a part of this great salvation. Christ alone can save us from the hopeless destiny that sin leads to in the future. But salvation in the future is only a portion of this great salvation that God offers us through Jesus Christ. So let's make a total response to the great salvation rather than neglecting parts of it. For a lot of you listening to this teaching today, salvation from the penalty of sin is already a past experience. You can look back in your life. You may not know the exact date of your salvation, but you can look back and you can see when you got saved. I can't give you the exact hour or date. Some people can, I can't. But I can tell you that I fully committed my life to Jesus Christ in and around 1976. I was like a young teenager. And I reasoned that Jesus Christ really is my Savior, that he died and rose again to save me, that I'm justified in the sight of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I can look back and I know that happened, and you can too. Those who've experienced salvation from the penalty of sin in the past, we should be in the process of being saved from the power, the practice, and the habit of sin in the present. This is what we call sanctification. And it is salvation in the present time. All who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior in the past and who are experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit within themselves during the present look forward to salvation from sin in the future. This is salvation in the future tense, and the Bible talks about it as glorification. So we're going to be looking at all of those things in the coming weeks. As you take an inventory of your own heart and your own faith, have you become satisfied with a partial salvation? Or are you hungry for and seeking the complete salvation that God offers you through Jesus Christ? You know, if you've trusted Him as Savior, you should desire His full and complete salvation in the present tense. And in order to experience full and complete salvation in the present tense, you need to do a number of things. You must not neglect any of these. So let's talk about that. Now, you've all things being equal, and everybody listening to this podcast this morning, you've all experienced Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's a good starting point right there. But Jesus Christ is more than just your Savior. Jesus Christ is also your teacher who came from God. If you read the Gospels, his followers, Jesus' followers, the disciples and the apostles, how did they address Jesus? Frequently, they addressed him as master, or they addressed him as rabbi, all right? Those were terms used to address an authoritative teacher. Jesus Christ, in addition to being the Son of God, was also a carpenter and a rabbi. He was a teacher of the Scriptures, you see? But Jesus came bringing the truth of God from heaven to the hearts and lives of men. And you've got to accept Jesus Christ not just as your Savior, but also as your authoritative teacher who came to reveal the way for you to live in the present, right? And if you would experience salvation in the present tense, you got to start considering Jesus Christ as your teacher. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The whole Bible is inspired from Genesis to Revelation. It's all equally inspired, not just the red parts. It's all inspired, okay? But you need to know what Jesus taught. And again, if you read the Gospels, and you understand that the followers of Jesus were known as disciples or apostles, but they were learners. They were students of Jesus's. Okay, this meant that they'd enrolled in his school and that they were seeking to receive new truths about God, about life, about the problems and crises of life in the future. Like the Sermon on the Mount, which we're studying the Beatitudes section of the Sermon on the Mount in the video sermon series. If you haven't been watching those, you ought to. But the Sermon on the Mount closes with an exhortation, not only to hear, but to do the things that Jesus taught. Are you seriously committed to the practice of the teachings of Jesus Christ? You can't just know them in your head, folks. You gotta get them out of your head down into your heart. You have to live the way Jesus teaches you to live, and that you need to know that. You need to know the Word of God in order to live that way, right? You see, not to be that committed is to fail to experience the great salvation that God has for you in the present tense. So you need to respond to Jesus Christ not just as your Savior, but also as your teacher in the present time. Secondly, you got to let the Holy Spirit do His work within you in the present. 1 Corinthians 3:16, let me just read that verse. It says, Paul says, don't you realize that all of you together are the house of God and that the Spirit of God lives among you in His house? Yeah, so all believers possess the Holy Spirit. You are full of the Holy Spirit if you are born again. In the context of the Corinthian church situation, there were some in the church of Corinth who were uninformed concerning the glorious truth that the Holy Spirit had taken up residence within them at the very moment they trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. To be uninformed concerning the personality and presence and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to live on crumbs rather than to feast at the Lord's table. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you as part of as you are part of the body of Christ. Like, look at chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I think it's around verse 19. Let's see. Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you, and that He lives within you? Your own body does not belong to you, for God has bought you with a great price. So use every part of your body to give glory back to God, because He owns it. So think of it this way. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, but you are literally possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. And you can't do what you please with your body. You've got to do what pleases God, because the Holy Spirit's in you. God bought you. You understand? With the shed blood of Jesus, God bought you. He owns you. And the Holy Spirit in you is a seal of that ownership. Okay? So the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And it was the Holy Spirit who first convicted you of your need for Christ. Right? The Holy Spirit offered the miracle of the new birth as you responded to Jesus Christ as Lord. The Holy Spirit drew you, convicted you of sin, made you aware that you needed to be saved. The Holy Spirit did that work, and then the Holy Spirit, gave you the new birth. And it was the Holy Spirit who assures us of our relationship with God following our trusting of Jesus Christ as our Savior. So think about this. The Holy Spirit convicted you of the wrong in your life. The Holy Spirit regenerated you. He caused you to become born again. The Holy Spirit gives you the assurance that you're saved. The Holy Spirit bears witness to your spirit that you are the children of God. The Holy Spirit has come into our lives, into our hearts, to change us, to transform us, and to bring about within us a harmony with the mind and spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives on a daily basis, as we let Him do that work. The Holy Spirit wants to correct us and to instruct us even more perfectly in the ways of our precious Lord, recalling to our memory the things that He taught. So the more you read and study the Word of God, the more you go to Bible study at church, the more you go to church and fellowship with other believers, the more opportunities the precious Holy Spirit has to continue the work of salvation that He began in you. You got saved, that's wonderful, but the process of salvation is ongoing as the Holy Spirit does His work within you. A changed heart leads to a transformed life. And the changed heart occurs immediately. I mean, you are saved instantaneously. But your salvation was instant in one sense, but in another sense, it is a continual process because it's in the present tense. That's the part we call sanctification. So you were saved in the past, but you are continuing to be saved in the present. As you allow, and you must allow, he will not force Himself on you, you must allow the Holy Spirit to continue this work of salvation, of making you into the saint of God that God wants you to become, right? To neglect to respond positively to the work of the Holy Spirit is to deprive yourself of the fruit of the Spirit in your own life. There's no escape from living a barren, unproductive, unhappy Christian life if you neglect to make a positive response to the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Thirdly, you need to let the church be to you a spiritual family. So you need to respond to Jesus Christ as your teacher. You need to let the Holy Spirit do His work within you, and you need to let the church be your spiritual family. The church is spoken of in the New Testament as the household of faith, and God meant for each of His children to be related to and to be a vital functioning part of a local congregation of believers. Even as a baby needs a father and a mother and the security of a home, even so, believers, the babes of God, need that which only a spiritual family can offer to them if they're to grow and become mature. The church has been charged with the responsibility of teaching you the things that Jesus Christ taught. Now look, you can read the Bible and you can get all that, granted. But you need to be in a church that preaches and teaches the full gospel, the whole Word of God. That's why you have a pastor. Okay, pastors are given. The pastor of a church, that's an office in the church. But in Ephesians, Paul teaches that your pastor is also a gift from God to help you understand the Word of God so that you can become mature in your faith, you see. So you need to be part of a local church congregation, because that church is charged with the responsibility of teaching you the things that Jesus taught. Secondly, the church as your spiritual family should encourage you in living for Christ. See, that's another interesting aspect of being a member of a church. Members watch out for one another, not in a nosy way like Mrs. Kravitz on Bewitched, not like that, but we encourage one another to live right and to do the right things and to think the right way, the biblical way, I mean. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's an accountability factor in being a part of a local church that's really, really important. Thirdly, your church should show you how to live the Christian life and how to serve Jesus Christ. See, for example, every single Christian has a gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit. Did you know, every one of you, did you know that? You all have at least one, probably more. Jesus, of course, had them all because He was the Son of God. We may not have them all, but some of you will have one, others two, three, four, whatever. The gifts of the Spirit are meant to be used within the context of the local church. So, being a part of a local congregation means that you can bless that local congregation with the gifts that the Spirit has given you. So when you're not in a local church, you are robbing a church of those gifts that God has given you in the form of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you see. Your church can assist you in so many ways as you seek to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Without a positive and continuous response and participation in the family of God through the local church, it's impossible for you to experience the full, great salvation that God offers to you through Jesus Christ. Fourthly, let the Bible become the textbook of God's messages to your heart. You know, in recent years, like TV commercials have featured all kinds of record albums, from country music artists to the great opera singers, Hardly a day goes by that you don't, you know, when you're watching something, you don't see advertised, like I call record album, there's CDs or, you know, Amazon Music or whatever. When you're surfing the internet, you get these banners for the latest from this group or that singer or whatever. So the Bible needs to become like that in your head. I used the term textbook, but really it needs to become like a CD or an MP3 file of God's messages to your heart. Have you ever stopped to think about the Bible as being the spiritual music album that contains the voice and messages of God to your heart and your life? I'll never forget when I was in college, I had the Bible on tape. Didn't have MP3 files back in the day. We actually had cassette tapes. And I started going to bed listening to the Bible on tape. And I know for a fact that that worked. You know, I know for a fact that my knowledge of Scripture, was aided by constantly listening to it, playing in my ears as I was sleeping. It's an amazing thing. You're not even aware that it's happening, but the Word of God gets into your mind and into your heart and soul. So the Word of God can be and should be your source of spiritual food, of milk and meat and bread and all that you need for the growth of your spiritual life. I mean, there's no way that you can escape remaining in spiritual infancy if you neglect the Word of God. You must feed your spirit. We plan our meals, or if you're like me, you'll spend a lot of money eating out at a restaurant, and you spend a lot of time looking at the menu to find exactly what you want, and you don't mind paying for good food. You ought to be as concerned about feeding your spirit as you are with feeding your body. I guarantee you that most of you are thinking about lunch. It's 11:06 as I'm recording this on a Monday morning. Some of you are probably thinking about lunch. Maybe you didn't have breakfast, so your stomach's starting to grumble a little bit. You're gonna stop listening to the podcast, or it's gonna be over in a few minutes, and you're gonna eat. You wouldn't neglect eating when you're hungry. Well, see, you got to feed your spiritual man the same way. A lot of you have weak, anemic spiritual selves because you're not feeding your spirit with the Word of God. A daily study of God's Word can serve to not only feed your spirit, but it can be a spiritual roadmap for your life as you seek to walk wisely and properly through uncertain times. To neglect the Bible as a daily companion will mean many detours and false roads for your life. Dr. E.F. Hallett has described devotional Bible reading as the listening side of prayer. Isn't that nice? Reading the Bible and studying the Bible is the listening side of prayer. Dr. Hallett affirms that it is more important that we hear what God has to say in the prayer experience than that we utter our requests to God, and I think he was right about that. If you looked upon our text this morning merely as one for the unbeliever, look at it again. You'll note that it warns that those who are believers, they need to be careful about the peril of neglecting to make a total response to our great salvation. It's Hebrews chapter 2, right? Don't neglect our great salvation. All of it. Look, if you're listening to this and you're a non-believer, you should recognize the peril of neglect. You should recognize that every day you delay to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you increase your chances of never coming to Him. To neglect Jesus Christ means that you deprive yourself of spiritual life. You deprive yourself of a loving relationship with God. You deprive yourself of the privilege of having heaven as your eternal home. You deprive yourself of the greatest and the best of both this world and the world to come. But if you're already a believer, you also need to recognize the tragic possibilities of neglecting to respond to all of God's great salvation for you. There are certain things today that you should decide to do in order that you might experience this full and great salvation. Three things that you need to start doing right now today. Are you ready? Jot them down. Number one, determine right now to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to the precious Word of God as you come to understand it. Number two, determine right now that you will obey lovingly, instantly, and completely the Word of God. And number three, determine right now that you will trust your Lord always in all your ways every day of your life. Determine right now to consult your great Savior concerning every issue of your life, and determine right now that you will consent to His wishes and His will in order that you might experience fully and completely the great salvation that He has offered you and that hopefully you possess. Folks, we are all growing in the faith. Nobody has arrived yet. Nobody's living a perfect Christian life. Together, you and I can take the steps to become more than what we are as we experience this great, great salvation. Well, that's it for today, everybody. We've got about 32 minutes past the hour. Now, you come on back Wednesday, and we're going to be taking a look at we begin our study of a survey of Luke's gospel, interesting incidents in Luke's gospel. So do come back Wednesday morning. Until then, everybody, take care. Those of you on the East Coast, if you're living in North Carolina, Southwest Virginia, Mid Virginia, West Virginia, please be careful. Be careful. It's perilous getting around outside today and probably for the rest of the week. Stay warm. Stay close to God. God go with all of you. We'll see you again soon. Bye for now.